Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Good evening, folks, and a hearty welcome to our drive-in theater. We've a wonderful evening's entertainment lined up for you, one that will provide several hours of pleasurable relaxation and diversion for you and your family. Did you fail to dress up for tonight's show? No tie, an old shirt and slacks, a house dress? Well, don't give it a thought. We're glad you came as you are. We just want you to enjoy yourselves. Don't forget to visit our refreshment center during the intermission or any time. You love the tasty array of snacks we have to offer. So will the youngsters. Everything is quality and so good. We hope you'll make this a weekly visit. Bring the family. Bring your friends. There are always wonderful new pictures to see, delightful snacks to nibble. A gay, pleasant evening for all.
All right, it's Dave Plyer on 720 WGN. So this summer, the drive-in theater celebrates its 85th anniversary, and it was back in 1933 that chemical company magnate Richard Hollingshead Jr. opened the Camden Drive-In, the first official drive-in theater, in June of that year. He tested the concept in his driveway using an old projector, and that same year, Park-In Theaters were established as a company, paving the way for this exciting new medium. So the Camden held 500 cars, 30,000 to build. Roger, a quarter to get in there. Not bad.
A quarter?
A quarter.
And my allowance for the month was a dime.
Yeah.
So you had to save up your money.
You had to save up for that, absolutely. There's a bunch of drive-ins in Illinois, but two are only in the Chicago land area, and that's the McHenry in West Chicago, one in West Chicago. And in late April was the season opening the McHenry Outdoor Theater, and Golden Age Cinemas also grand opened the new McHenry Downtown Theater, which began, I think, as the Empire Theater back about 100 years ago. The McHenry Outdoor was originally called the Skyline, which was constructed in 1939, just before the big boom for outdoor theaters after World War II. And by the late 1950s, there were 5,000 drive-ins across the country. I think there's only a couple hundred right now. So they went digital a few years back, and to tell us that story and the history of the McHenry Outdoors, the president of Golden Age Cinemas, which includes the McHenry Outdoor Theater, and that's Scott Dean. Scott, welcome back to the program, buddy.
Dave, my friend, good to see you. Good to hear from you.
Absolutely. So good to be back. Absolutely, man. So when did you start getting involved in the whole theater business itself?
Oh, boy. Actually, I just celebrated my 20th year, May 15th
for you.
This year.
Congrats, man.
Yeah. So 20 years of fun and what I thought was going to be a lot of free movies until I realized how much work goes into this.
That's right. Was it the McHenry Outdoor? Was that the first foray into all this?
No, actually, it was the McHenry Downtown where I started.
Okay. And when did you buy the drive-in? When did you get involved with that?
I've been involved with that since 2003, and I've been owning it on my own since 2012.
Okay, all right. So what kind of condition was it in? I mean, I know you put a lot of effort and time into this place to make it as fabulous as it is. Tell me about it.
Well, it was like all drive-ins. There, any drive-ins that exist, there's very few that are new construction. So it's an old facility. When I got it, it was in pretty sad shape, needed quite a bit of help. But thankfully, I live in a community that really values this drive-in, and we've had no shortage of helping hands to make sure that this drive-in is something everyone can be proud of.
I can't tell you how many times that I talk to families and I say, hey, we're going to the drive-in this summer. And sometimes they go, that's funny. And no, really, we're going to the drive-in and you should hang out. I'm like, you know, you don't understand. Like people, it's a very retro experience, but, you know, there's people in the parking lot playing football. They're kind of hanging out. It's people of every walk of life. And, you know, I mean, I'm constantly meeting new people when we go out there. But so much of the experience, even though you're showing two brand new films, you've still got all the retro stuff there. I mean, the commercials, which really, I think that's probably the most important part to me, is to catch some of those intermission films and the stuff for the pick, the thing you would light on fire on your dashboard in the middle of the car. I mean, which cracks me up to keep the bugs away. But that's part of the vintage experience, because you want to obviously show those first run movies. You want a clean environment. You want great food. But I think the retro portion of this whole thing is very important.
It is, and what I try to do is you try to walk that fine line of being nostalgic but not being old. I think there's a big difference there, and yeah, from the moment you pull into the lot, I try to make this drive-in theater almost a time machine, where when you pull in, the music that's playing is from the 50s. Even a lot of the cars that you see are classic cars people have driven there.
I love that.
From the 50s and 60s, and it really feels like you've stepped back in time when you're standing there and you see, you know, kids playing catch with their mom or dad, and it really harkens back to a more simpler time, it seems.
My kids, and you know, 17, 12, and 5, they don't think the drive-in is being old because I've always taken them there. Like, that's not some new experience, you know? And I think it was, I hosted an event up in McHenry for the health partnership. I think it was the McHenry Health Partnership. And my auction item that I won was drive-in tickets to your place. That's what I bid on, which I'm excited about. Because, as I said, we try to pick a couple times to go every summer. And I have to encourage people, if you haven't gone to the drive-in, it is just so much fun. Have you done that, Curtis? Have you been, our producer, Curtis?
No, I live like 10 minutes away from the McHenry place, so I've been there numerous times.
Oh, good. Yeah. All right. Okay.
Oh, there we go.
That's critical. Yeah. And what are the options for sound? I want to tell people, like, you know, of course, you can have the vintage speakers. You can throw them in the car.
Right.
But there's other ways you can do it, too.
There are. There's a few different things you can do. One, yeah, a lot of people still enjoy that that old nostalgic sound that you get from that tin box that you can hang from your,
it still sounds pretty good though,
car window. It does. It's just I do kind of laugh when I see these nice cars pull up with a sound system that's, you know, worth more than my life, and they like they like to hear the sound from the little tin box on their window.
Yeah.
But hey, it, you know, whatever floats your boat. But yeah, you can listen to it on, we broadcast on an FM station. So you can listen over your car's stereo system
without draining your battery. You got to figure out how to do it so you're not jumping cars all night long, right?
Right.
Yeah.
So yeah, you can listen from your car, or we also rent out little portable radios in our concession stand if you don't want to drain your car's battery.
That's cool. Yeah, that's cool. How many cars do you hold?
We can fit, if we had to, we can fit about 900.
Wow, that's awesome. See, I love that. I love that. And you got to get there kind of early if you want a kind of a nice little spot, but you want to get there early anyway, right? Because, I mean, it's fun just to hang out.
Yeah, it's a big movie. Yeah. Well, no matter what, I always suggest getting there early so that you can take advantage of the weather. I mean, the whole point of the drive-in is to really celebrate summer and to be outside and to get there early and enjoy the weather and the sunset and, you know, playing catch outside. That's summer to me. I would get there and just enjoy your time. Relax.
Exactly. I love that. Stick around, Scott. We're gonna do the news just in a couple minutes here. I got to tell you, we got a bunch of texts that came flying in already. 630, the Skyline in Aurora is where they used to. See, this is a lot of very nostalgic conversations of where they used to go. I want to encourage people to go to the drive-in. But the Skyline in Aurora is from 630. 312 says the Bel Air drive-in in Cicero.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. 217, Green Meadows drive-in in Springfield. Now called the Route 66 drive-in, the airline drive-in in Ponca City, Oklahoma. See, I know we're all always going to get texts from around the country. That's awesome. If you want to share a drive-in memory or tell us where you used to go, and then please continue to listen to the conversation because we want you to get you to the McHenry drive-in and experience really what that's all about. 312-981-7200. More with Scott Dean from the McHenry drive-in coming up next on 720 WGN.
Yum, yum. It's time for a tasty and refreshing snack.
All right, it's Dave Player on 720 WGN. We're talking to Scott Dean. He's the president of Golden Age Cinemas about the McHenry Outdoor Drive-In. So I was thinking about this, Scott. I used to go to the Twin Drive-In on Milwaukee Avenue when I was a kid. And high school, I mean, we would, you know, jam kids in the trunk and do whatever, right, like everybody else. And I'm trying to think, like, you know, somebody asked me what was the last movie I saw there. I think it was The Breakfast Club, because it closed shortly thereafter that, but it was like in the mid-80s. But then they would also, right after that, they would not do another first run. It would be like like an old horror flick, and it was like from the 70s. You know, you'd watch a really bad B movie in there. You have what do we? You know, you got a great concession stand too, and it's very retro as well, but great food. Tell folks what they can find there.
Oh boy, the concession stand is we completely redid it, all new equipment, and we're making everything from Angus hamburgers and cheeseburgers to hot dogs and nachos. We've got Guinness beer brats, Italian sausage, pretzels, ice cream, and anything you can really think of. We've got it down there, and it's all right off the grill and fresh, and it's awesome. I love this time of year. I put on a happy 20 pounds by the end of the season.
I bet you do.
I'm in good shape.
I love that. I love that. And you went digital too, which, you know, a lot of theaters had to because of the way the distribution was going with the with the studios. But that really changed and upgraded even the quality of the films that you show.
Well, it not only did it save the theater itself, but we were the difference in quality in the image that you see on the screen is night and day. It's so much brighter, and there's really never been a more beautiful, more sharper picture on that screen in the history of this theater. It's beautiful to see.
That's awesome. And McHenry is located at 1510 Chapel Hill Road in McHenry. Movies start at dusk. What do you charge?
Well, right now we're charging $12 for adults, $6 for kids, and that gets you admission to both features. But this year we're offering something that I'm really excited about. I got the idea actually from our customers. They said, you know, Scott, it'd be so nice if we could do a carload night where you just pay one price for carload of however many people you can fit. And I was actually able to get that done this year. So this year on any Tuesday, it's just $12 for as many people as you can fit in your car. So
you have 20 people in a car trying to get it.
In a clown car, you know, you have 200 people waltz out of it, and you're good to go.
I love that. Oh, that's awesome. That's very cool. And you know, you also have weekends where you do some like special movies and stuff like that, like theme movies, especially around Halloween and stuff. I mean, you do that once in a while.
Oh, we do that every year. Yeah, we call it our throwback weekends, and we try to theme each weekend. And yeah, we get a little more creative once we get closer to Halloween. But once the big summer blockbusters are over, we like to show more of the classic films and kind of do theme nights. And we have a lot of fun with that, where people dress up, and or we'll do sing along versions of Grease, Rocky Horror Picture Show, and it's a blast. You talk about walking into a time machine at the theater. It's even more so when you're playing the old films.
And you usually share that on Facebook. You got a great Facebook page where you communicate all that as well. What is playing if they want to go Sunday night, tomorrow night at the drive-in? What's there this weekend?
Well, currently we're only open Fridays and Saturdays, so okay. I just wrapped up my shift over there tonight.
Okay.
But starting next Friday, we'll be open 7 days a week, and we will have Solo, a Star Wars story, followed by Avengers.
Yeah, see, look at that. That's two brand new movies for $12. That's
right.
Phenomenal. I absolutely love that. You also reopened the McHenry downtown, right?
Yes, that opened January 18th.
Okay, all right, very cool. And that was... Did you always operate that one, or is that something that you just took over?
No, I was there and I operated it from that's where I began in the late 90s all the way through. I was there till 2010, I believe.
Okay,
and then I got involved with a group. This is what was really cool with this project is everyone in McHenry said we need this theater back, and a lot of 28 to be exact, 28 local residents put their money together and said, you know what, we need this, let's get into this together. So it's a theater that's owned locally from local residents and operated locally, and it's been a dream come true. This place is doing great, and it's a beautiful, beautiful place to see a movie.
That's awesome. And it was the old, was it the Empire Theater? Is that what it was back?
That was what it was originally called when it was constructed. Yes,
yeah.
The Empire.
Almost 100 years old. I mean, 1919, right? I mean, this theater's been around a long time. Big legacy.
Long time, yeah. Yes.
That's very cool. I got a couple texts. Oasis Drive-In in Des Plaines, which I think the Oasis sign is still up there. It is a...
I think you're right.
It's still there. It's in Des Plaines. It's a trailer park. And so it's the Oasis Trailer Park. So the yep. with the original sign still there. I got one from 630 Gibson City on Route 47. Still go to the 34 Drive-In in Earlville. Let's see here, Big Hang. I go to Cascade. I'm in West Chicago. So, you know, here, folks, I got to tell you, you gotta give it a shot and bring the family down to the drive-in this summer. The McHenry Outdoor is at 1510 Chapel Hill Road in McHenry. And for more, you can go to goldenagecinemas.com. You click on McHenry Outdoor. And if you want to check out the new grand reopened McHenry Downtown Theater, you can check out that website as well. Scott, always a pleasure hanging out with you, pal.
This day is same here. I always love this time here where we get to catch up. Thank you.
Absolutely. We'll see you at the drive-in.
You got it.
All right. Take care, pal.
Okay.
All right. More on the drive-in coming up next on 720 WGN.
Get more out of life. Come often and bring your family to our drive-in theater. There's plenty of time to treat yourself to something good to eat at our refreshment center.
If the windows get fogged, you'll have to take a breath down at the drive-in. Popcorn and an extra large Coke, a few chili dogs, and man, I'm going broke down at the drive-in. Yeah, at the drive-in.
It's Day Player on 720 WGN, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio. So once a vibrant part of American culture, drive-in movie theaters numbered nearly 5,000 across America during their peak in the mid-1900s. In a nation that loves cars and movies, why haven't they survived? It's a fascinating and fun documentary out there called Going Attractions, The Definitive Story of the American Drive-In, that examines the drive-in theater's role in American culture from its invention in 1933 through its peak in the late 1950s to its rapid decline in the 70s and 80s. Fueled by the recent resurgence of drive-ins, this nostalgic look at American culture, family, and entertainment tells a story of a changing nation and places the drive-in within the context of U.S. political, economic, and social changes. And joining us to talk about the classic theater venues of the drive-in is the producer, writer, and director of Going Attractions, and that is April Wright. Good evening to you, April.
Hi, how are you?
I am fabulous. What was behind your passion in making this film? I know you're from Chicago, so you must have frequented some of them here when you were growing up.
Yeah, absolutely. I live in Los Angeles now, and I grew up near Chicago, and I went to the Waukegan Drive-In, I went to the Grays Lake Outdoor, and I went to the Keno, and all of those are gone.
Yeah. Yeah, the Keno just closed last couple of years, I think.
Yeah, it just got torn down recently. That was kind of a long fight on that one. But, yeah, it was a normal part of my childhood growing up. My mom always threw us in the back seat and took us to the drive-in. In high school, I went all the time. And I made a lot of friends go when I was in college, too. So it's just always, you know, if there was a choice to see a movie and you had a choice of going to the drive-in, that was always my preference.
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, I said this earlier in the summer that when Finding Dory came out, my 10-year-old daughter said, well, I think that's the movie we'll see at the drive-in in June.
Like, yeah.
They know that's kind of a marker because most kids don't know what that's all about. I don't think most parents or most adults have been to one in a long time. But I will tell you, when I go to the Cascade, if I don't get there at a certain time, that line's pretty long. And they pack it in. I mean, they're sold out every weekend.
Yeah. Yeah, all the drive-ins that are left, the majority of them are doing really well. And I think there's a couple reasons for that. And one is basically it's come full circle. When they were popular to begin with, they were family attractions. And drive-ins are big, too. You know, you've got however many, you know, places for cars, probably 300 on a small drive-in and over 1,000 on a large drive-in. And then you've got, you know, that times two, and even more if you have kids. So you have to have movies like they're making nowadays. All these comic book movies, all the big animated movies draw those huge crowds that, you know, love, you know, going to the drive-in.
Well, part of the experience, too, is once you get there is, you know, there's so many things, the concession stand and everything. But the kids before the movie, they're playing football in the parking lot with other kids. There's a little playground mm-hmm. there that the kids are playing at. Some people are grilling out there. I mean, tailgating, whatever it might be. So it's pretty cool. I was looking at the history of the drive-in in general, and I know sometime around 1915, they had these air dome theaters for silent films, you know, where people would bring folding chairs. It's almost like what we do in Chicago now with these movies in the park, but that's kind of the, one of the first experiences of watching a movie outdoors.
Yeah, people talk about that predating the drive-in. That you could see an outdoor movie, silent movie. They did that in Europe a lot too, where there were outdoor auditoriums. There were also stories of during World War One and World War Two having the troops see movies in an outdoor experience. So there was always that element. But the thing with drive-ins really took off with the baby boom and the car culture and moving to the suburbs and all the things that happened after sure. World War II is what made it huge.
Well, that, and you define that in the movie. And I know that, you know, the first one in the history of this whole thing, the first official drive-in was the Camden that opened up in 1933. Richard Hollingshead was the guy that made that happen.
Mm-hmm. And I had the opportunity for my film to meet his son, who actually remembered his dad doing that. And theirs didn't stay open that long. His dad was in auto care business, so it was just something that kind of went hand in hand. But, yeah, he's credited with it. And then soon after he started it, a bunch of them sprung up. There were about 100 before World War II. But it was really after the wars when they took off like crazy.
And this was vacant farmland, and, you know, and I love, you know, you talk about a lot of the venue names in this movie. You know, they all had those just great names, the Starlight, the Moonlight, the Skyview was probably most common, wasn't it?
I think it's the Starlight was the most common, and yeah, the Skyview was also very common. Midway was a common name if they were between cities. But then most of them were just named either after the city or off of the road they were on. So you have, you know, like a Route 39 drive-in and those kinds of names. Yeah. So that people would know where to find them, basically.
But what you really do is you really establish how indicative these and important these drive-ins were during the time that cars were cool. And, you know, it was all tied into that experience because, first of all, cars were heck of a lot bigger back then, so you could bring a lot of people and be very comfortable watching a movie, you know, even comparatively to today.
Yeah, and you had the not the bucket seats, but the what were those called?
The front seats, all the way across.
The bench seats.
Yeah,
you had bench seats, so it was easier to fit more people and just, you know, sit across it. Yeah, it was a little more comfortable. And today, if you go to drive-ins, a lot of people don't sit in the car. They bring lawn right. chairs or seats, and they sit outside, which is one of the changes that happens today. But that's because you don't have to have that speaker in your window anymore. It plays over the radio, so you can sit outside, and you can hear it inside the whole venue.
I'm a drive-in geek. I have to have the speaker in the car. It's very important. Yeah. It is. It's very important.
Well, a lot of them still have them and yeah. maintain them.
They do, and they sound fantastic. They really do.
Yeah.
Yeah, they do. 847, I grew up in Loves Park, Illinois during the late 50s and 60s. We lived two blocks from the River Lane Outdoor Theater. We used to sit in our front yard and watch the cartoons from the theater. It's pretty cool. People got a lot of memories about this stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. When you think about it, you had drive-ins from 1933 and really up through the 80s. Pretty much anybody that grew up in the United States, it was just part of our common experience. Yeah. Everybody went to the drive-in. It didn't matter where you were from or what, you know, race or whatever you were, you know, economic status. Everybody went to the drive-in. And I think it's a little sad that we have so few left, and now you run into people that are just, you know, that will tell me, oh, I've never been to a drive-in, and that's just so sad to me.
Yeah, it is. No, it is. You know, we used to go to in fact, someone just texted 708, worked at the Harlem Irving Outdoor Theater in 66 and 67 when in high school. That's from Pat. I used to go to that one, I believe, when I was a kid. And then we went to the Twin on Milwaukee Avenue. And I remember doing that and bringing rafts from our cottage up in Wisconsin to put in the back of the Grand Torino station wagon and lay down and watch the movies from the back seat. But then I also remember going there in high school before mm-hmm. they closed. And I think we saw Breakfast Club and then some throwback B horror movie. I think it was called Horror Express. I was trying to look it up. Yeah. So yeah, it was a horrible movie. But
drive-ins went through a phase where a lot of the movies were not the best movies, but it didn't matter. It was still fun to go to the drive-in, but that was one of the key outlets for those types of films before cable, before VHS and all that. You would see those kinds of movies at the drive-in and have a great time.
Area code 920, within the last couple of years, went to the Highway 18 Theater in Jefferson, Wisconsin. Retro Fund 618, still go to the Skyview in Bellevue, opened in 1949. Great show,
yeah,
Dave.
Yeah, these are all good ones. I've been to all these.
Yeah, yeah. And it's sad to see the ones that are still sitting there but not operating. That's the one that bothers me the most when we're on the road.
Yeah.
217,
well,
Harvest Moon.
I cover a lot of that in the film.
You do?
It's just, yeah, you know, I try to set it, you know, it's not just about the drive-ins themselves. It's all cultural. It's all about culture, sure, and economics and technology and all these things that play into it. And it is a little sad in the United States that we have this disposable culture and that we are so economically driven sometimes that we'd rather, you know, put a Walmart where a drive-in used to be. And
yeah,
that's like our idea of progress. Yeah. And now I think a lot of people are starting to realize maybe that's not the best way to go. So I think we've got a lot of renewed interest in things like this, but for a while, those kinds of things were happening.
The crowds are thinning out at the snack bar, folks, and there are still 3 minutes till showtime. You can easily make it for something that'll just hit the spot. How about it? Don't waste a second of refreshment time. You'll find such an appetizing assortment of refreshments at the snack bar, you won't be able to decide what to ask for first. All of your snack bar favorites are there, including fresh peanuts, hot popcorn, and candy of all kinds.
All right, it's Dave Player on 720 WGN. We're talking to April Wright. Her documentary is Going Attractions, the definitive story of the American drive-in. Sound was a major part of this, and you break down so much of this in this film. And again, it's called Going Attractions, folks. And I'm telling you, you will really enjoy this. This is such a throwback and such a really, you put it together so well and so nicely, just in the interviews that you had and really the photos and the videos and so forth. Sound is a major part of that movie-going experience. And I know it took from the first drive-in like almost 15 years to actually perfect how they actually were going to project sound into the car.
Yes. So the really early drive-ins just had one or two giant speakers up in front, either on the screen or somewhere under the, you know, coming from the screen level, just blasting at everybody.
Yeah.
And then a few of them had this underground kind of sound system where they came up through portals. I didn't cover that specifically in the movie because it was just one or two drive-ins that tried that approach. And then RCA eventually did that in-car speaker that became the standard. And that's pretty much what stayed all the way up to the early 80s when it shifted to the AM radio and today FM radio.
I bought a set of drive-in speakers years ago that's in my theater, and there's an adapter on it so I could plug, it's not Bluetooth, but I can plug in my iPhone to it and play stuff through the speakers,
cool,
which is pretty cool. But in 1948, there was the Browns drive-in and fly-in, which you could also, it was parked next to an airport. And that's why I always thought about the twin drive-in and by the Palwaukee airport, that why didn't they position the screen so you could fly your plane in and watch the movies. But that's pretty cool. And then
there were a handful of fly-in drive-ins around the country. There were actually three or four of them.
And there was also, you know, it gets very buggy. And I noticed that when these little pick, bug repellents, used to light it and stick it on your dashboard, didn't you?
Yeah, they still have them. A lot of drive-ins, you can buy them. I think the Cascade is selling
them. They do.
Them.
They do. Yeah, but I mean, you literally light it and stick it in your car, which is quite frightening. I have an original commercial. Let's play it.
Men, there's a drive-in movie full of juicy people. Wow! It's a trap! Help! It's Pick! We've had it, men.
A pleasant aroma for you, but not for mosquitoes. Pick is easy to use. Light it and forget it. Pick's aroma keeps mosquitoes, gnats, and sand flies away. PIC is the best protection for barbecues, fishing and camping trips, or just relaxing in the yard.
Or starting your car on fire. No, but it's interesting that they still sell those as well. You're absolutely right. So you travel the country pretty much and in really search of all these fabulous drive-ins and the stories from the people that run them.
The film took me many years to make. I actually took multiple cross-country trips, going little town to little town. I ended up going to every single state except Alaska. And wow. I've been to over 500 drive-in locations, so including open wow. drive-ins, abandoned drive-ins, former sites of drive-ins. Yeah, I've been all over.
That's phenomenal. That's pretty cool. What you can tell by the documentary itself is just it was just so entertaining. I just really enjoyed it. The intermission time, folks. That's something that, you know, when we go to the Cascade or the McHenry, that you can still see in between. You can still see all these classic commercials, which is so yeah. cool that they play in the intermission time. And
most of those were made by a Chicago company. I don't know if you know that.
No.
The famous, yeah, the dancing hot dog and the countdown clock.
Yeah.
And let's all go to the lobby and the pick one that you just played. All those were made by a company called Filmac, which is Chicago-based.
Very cool.
And they still are making them today.
I love that.
Yeah,
that's very cool.
And they also sell the retro ones, too. It's like the third or fourth generation in the family now. But, yeah, they're still doing it.
Here's a classic commercial that I found, a drive-in commercial for cigarettes. Let's take a listen.
Guess what? Guess what would taste good right now to everyone in the car?
Cigarettes? Here they are.
The favorite of young and old alike. We've got your favorite kind at the concession stand. Come on down and pick out the kinds you want to enjoy during the rest of the show.
Everybody in the car is going to love that, including the young ones, which I find fascinating.
Wow.
Yeah, that's what it was back then. I mean, could you imagine, you know, rolling yeah. up the windows and watching the movie with just, it would be like a Cheech and Chong movie in that car, you know, with all the smoke.
Well, but that was part of the thing of the drive-ins and still is today is I kind of say this in the film that they are a product and an expression of freedom. And that was part of the thing, that you can go in your car and you can do whatever you
right.
want to, and you can smoke in your car and you can, you know, whatever. You have your own little space there, and that's part of what people enjoyed about it then and enjoy about it today.
708, I remember sneaking friends inside the trunk, of course. 847, late 60s, the Oasis in Des Plaines, which is now a motorhome park. If you remember that, I know
yes.
you know which one that is. Yeah,
because the sign is still
the
there.
The sign is still there, which I absolutely love, and I only realized recently that that was a drive-in.
Yeah,
seriously. And then the Twin and 53 on Rand carried my this tradition with my kids into the 90s, bring them back. 847, I think it was called the 53 drive-in in Addison. Many drive-ins back then in the early days were open year-round. And they would give you like a portable heater to plug into the stand where you would grab the audio out of, and you'd stick this portable heater in your car, right?
Yeah. The heaters are really common, and a lot of drive-ins still have them today. There are a lot in warm states that are open year round. Like I'm in California, they're open year round. You know,
sure.
Texas, Florida, of course.
Sure.
Most of them are seasonal, but with all the good films coming out and the good crowds, a lot of drive-ins are stretching their season. So they're opening a little earlier. They're staying open a little later. Some are doing like, you know, Halloween events and that kind of thing to extend the season. And some of them do still have those heaters that you can plug in and put in the car so you don't have to run the car engine.
Now, you interviewed so many people for this documentary, including Roger Corman. What did you learn from him?
Oh, Roger was the best.
Yeah.
I met him. I ran into him and told him I was making this movie, and he just said, oh, well, if you want to interview me, call my office, because he knew he was part of the story. So he was just really wonderful and gracious and an interesting guy and so key in film history, all the people that got their start with him. And I didn't realize until I started looking into the film how many people he had worked with and that their films were all drive-in films. Big directors like Jonathan Demme and Martin Scorsese and Ron Howard and all these people that made films with Roger Corman that were primarily played at drive-ins.
Yeah,
so
you know,
it's a cool part of film history.
They're almost kind of geared. Some of these producers made these films knowing that they would be in the drive-in. I mean, that was kind of a target.
Well, yeah. I mean, if you're Jonathan Demme, you're making Caged Heat, which is some sort of, you know, woman prison movie in that time period.
Yeah.
That is the only place they would play.
Totally true. Yeah, totally true. You know, now in the last few years, you know, and I've talked about the story before, is that the studio stopped sending film to all theaters. So, you know, you had to go digital. And I know that kind of cut out a few more drive-ins that had to close because they couldn't afford it, because it was like $85,000 to $100,000 investment to go digital in these theaters because for so many years they were just on film. But, you know, thank goodness here in Chicago, the two, the McHenry and the Cascade, have done just that. Actually, the McHenry won a contest with Honda to get something. They did that around the whole country, which I absolutely loved. I hope they do that with some other places as well. 815, Joliet had the Hilltop Drive-In, took my wife on her first date there in 87.
I think that is still there, but it's very run down.
Is it really? Okay, in Joliet.
Yep.
262, yep. The Kino Drive-In, Sheridan, Kenosha, now closed, was a family favorite. Pumpkin Farms, Jay. I live in Muskegon. This is 231. We have a fourplex, four screens. They threaten every spring to close, but so far it hasn't happened. Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, it's still, you know, some of these, if you don't keep them up, you know, you're at risk of closing. You got to kind of keep it up and keep that experience alive. But again, here in Chicago, we're very lucky. Now, you've got a new feature you're working at about the big screen movie palaces.
Yes. So similar to the drive-ins, this one's about the big single screen indoor movie palaces. So the ones that people used to go to before the multiplex, a lot of them had balconies and that kind of thing, and similar story. There's a lot of them around Chicago that are left. Some of them are other youth venues now. They're not movie theaters anymore, but they started that way. And I wanted to know their story too, because likewise, we've lost a lot of those theaters, and you know, I wanted to find out what happened to them and basically the origin. And it's been a really interesting story. What I didn't realize was many of them were built by the studios themselves back in the heyday of movies. And they were built in a really compressed time period. Almost all the big old theaters were built between 1915 and 1932. So I'm looking forward to finishing that film and getting that story out there, because it's also really fascinating and really tied to the motion picture business and the evolution of that in the early days.
I think about that. That's pretty brilliant for the studios to actually build their own theaters, you know, because it certainly would guarantee an audience building it in a neighborhood. And you're right. We have so many classic theaters here in Chicago. Like, you know, the Pickwick spent well over $1 million a few years ago remodeling, and it's just as fabulous as it always was. But then you've got like the Displanes Theater that struggles a little bit. The Portage is really not, you know, it needs some. Mm-hmm. Some of these theaters need some serious love. You're absolutely right.
Yeah, and they're very expensive to do those restorations. The ones that have been restored or been returned are great, and there's still several around the country that still need that kind of support. And there is one in Chicago called the Uptown.
Right.
That's one of the largest ever built, that's waiting for some help and some funding. So we'll see what happens with that one.
Well, the best way to support your drive-in folks is to go, and if you haven't gone in a while, take the kids, take the grandkids, just go on a date by yourself. But it is a fabulous experience. The digital quality of the screens are fabulous. The sound is great. And the concessions are fun. It's just such a retro experience, and it's so much fun. So I encourage you to go.
Yeah.
And I also encourage you to go to Amazon.com or to what's your website again, April?
Yeah, if you just go to my website. It's goingattractions.com. You can either buy the film direct, or it tells all the ways that you can get it, either digital, iTunes, Amazon. It's everywhere. You can buy a DVD or you can stream it.
Yeah, it's Going Attractions, the definitive story of the American drive. And again, available wherever DVDs are sold. A lot of fun. Thank you so much, April, for spending some time with us and bringing back some fond memories.
Yeah, I really appreciate it. I'm glad you got so many great texts with people that remember their drive-ins.